How has everybody's new year been so far? Has it been pretty good? Maybe a little rocky at times? Maybe a train wreck? Or in my case, an actual car wreck. This week has been interesting for me. Some of you may have noticed that I drove my husband's blue Volvo to work, to church this evening, and to work all week. Well, that's because on Tuesday evening, as I was rolling up Cornelius Pass to go, we were doing a grocery run, the kids and I were, the brakes on my Tahoe failed. Thankfully, I was only doing 35 and not on the freeway. I kept pushing on the brake pedal and pushing and pushing and pushing, and I got nothing in return. The woman in front of us was kind enough to stop us with the back of her vehicle. No airbags deployed, and nobody went to the hospital. My car was towed because apparently when the radiator leaks, you're not supposed to drive it. But all in all, it could have been much worse when I think about it. You know, as inconvenient as it is to deal with insurance and cops and towing, it's nowhere near as inconvenient as being in a full body cast. So, I figure we're, you know, in pretty good shape. I absolutely hated the fact that my kids were in the car. That's one of those things that, I mean, as a parent, my job is to keep them safe. And I almost couldn't do that. Those are really bright. Yes, please, Dawn. But the thing is that the lady that we ran into the back of her car, when I got out and walked up to her vehicle and I said, "Oh my gosh, are you guys okay?" She goes, "Oh, I was just praying that you guys were okay." I said, "Well, that's good, because I've been praying that you were okay for the last 2 minutes before I got out of my vehicle." Because for a couple minutes, I just sort of sat there going, what just happened? I'm very thankful today. One, that I'm walking, that my kids are walking. Two, we have a spare car that I was able to be able to drive this week, so we didn't have to pay for a rental, because apparently that's the one thing our insurance doesn't cover. And even though I walked away Tuesday evening feeling a little sore, a little stiff in the back, that gave me the opportunity to sit on the couch with a hot pack and work on my sermon when I otherwise probably would have procrastinated, because I'm really good at procrastinating things. I work better under pressure. So God never said that our lives were going to be easy. There is nowhere that you are going to find in the Bible where God looks at his followers and says, "Sit back, relax, this is going to be so easy for you." That's not what happens. He says, "No, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. Things are going to be difficult." Has everybody else been enjoying our journey through the Bible together so far this year? Dawn has. Good Dawn. I love reading through the Bible. I have done it a couple of times. The first time was in high school because my mom told me that I wouldn't do it and that I would give up before the end. She was wrong. I love her, but she was wrong. I don't think I got out of it at that point what I was probably supposed to get out of it, because I was reading out of spite. But I've done it a few times since then, and every single time, there is something new that just grabs me and gives me a good shake and goes, "Hey! Pay attention to me this time." It's amazing how, depending on the season of life that I'm in, I look at things a little differently. As I was going through the reading selections for this week, I'm thinking about my sermon title because the title was already picked out by Carlene. She picked lighthearted. I've not been feeling as lighthearted as I could this week. And I thought, how am I supposed to write about being lighthearted? God, you're going to have to help me out here. So I was trying to connect a reading from this week with being lighthearted. And it really made me think about what lighthearted actually means. But it also made me think about what lighthearted can mean. In the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, lighthearted is listed as free from care, anxiety or seriousness, happy-go-lucky, as well as cheerfully optimistic and hopeful, easygoing. That's probably what most of us think of when we think of lighthearted. You think of someone who's just da-da-da-da-da, you know, skipping along life's path with their rose-colored glasses and everything's good, it's great, it's rosy. When thinking of it that way, Psalm 107 from this week was so fitting. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. I don't know about you guys, but that makes me feel pretty good. Just, you think about that. His faithful love endures forever. That's a really long time, in case you weren't aware. We serve a God who is going to love us forever, who is there for us always. If that was the lighthearted that I was going to talk about today, then my sermon would basically be done. I would read all of Psalm 107, and we would call it great. God loves you, so be happy. Have a great week, folks. See ya. However, I feel like that definition of lighthearted only begins to scratch the surface. So what I'm going to do is break it down a little bit further. Light can mean of little weight, not heavy, which is not necessarily, I mean, it can be what is thought of when it comes to being lighthearted. Your heart is not heavy. It is not weighted with sadness. That first song that we sang today, Come As You Are, says, lay down your burden, lay down your shame. Where do you carry your burdens? Where do you carry your shame? It's right here. You're carrying it in your heart. You're not walking around carrying it, you know, on your back or, you know, pulling a Popeye and bringing all the groceries in one trip. That's not where you're carrying your burdens and your shame. You're carrying them in your heart. Laying them down makes your heart light. You become lighthearted. With that, I have a great joke for you guys. I told it to Michael this week, and it was as we were walking the kids to school. His response was to look at me and say, I'm not walking with you anymore, and walk away from me. To be fair, he really doesn't like my cheesy jokes. I love them. But I said, hey, babe, which is how he knows a cheesy joke is coming. They always start that way for me. I said, hey, babe, so Mary had Jesus, right? He goes, yeah. I said, and Jesus is the Lamb of God, right? So did Mary have a little lamb? And that's when he said he was walking away from me. It's lighthearted. He hates my jokes. I thought it was particularly wonderful. But the thing about light and being lighthearted, when we look at light as a noun instead of an adjective, we get a completely different meaning. The natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. Wait a minute. Wasn't Jesus also called the light of the world? And isn't that what he does? He helps us to see the truth. Exactly. And makes a path to eternity with God visible. In Mark 8, verses 34, 35, and 36, it says, "Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul?'" The he referenced here is Jesus, by the way. He wants us to give up ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. If we follow him, we are meant to help others to see the truth of Christ. We are meant to help others to the path of eternity, to share the good news. We are offered eternity. All we have to do is follow Christ's example. But, how do we know what to do to follow Christ's example? That's the easy part. We're already doing it this entire year, reading through the Bible. Pretty amazing. When you read the Bible, you're reading about the life of Christ. You read about the things that he did. The hard part is the following part. It is so easy to wander off that path that, let's face it, Jesus has literally already beat through the brush. It's so easy to take the easy route. Following Christ, feeling your heart beat to his drum, and acting out your faith in him means stepping outside of your comfort zone. It means doing things for other people. It means talking to sinners. Newsflash, by the way, we're all sinners. All of us. Every person living and breathing on the planet right now is a sinner. How do I know that? Because none of them are Jesus Christ. Not a single one. He was the only sinless man. The rest of us, not us. I have known so many Christians in my life who talk about following Jesus, talk about how much they love God, but they never bother to strap on Jesus's sandals and actually give it a go. Here's the definition for Christian: one who professes belief in the teaching of Jesus Christ. Now, what do you do when you believe in something? You act on it, right? If you believe in Santa, you leave out milk and cookies. If you believe in the tooth fairy, you expect money in exchange for disused body parts. If you believe in money, you try and get as much of it as you can. If you believe in kindness, you show people kindness. Doesn't it make sense that if you believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ, you would show that as well? Acting out our faith every single minute is how we are able to help find the lost sheep. We are like a beacon, a lighthouse, welcoming the lost ships back to port, all the while knowing that our job is simply to assist. We should know we don't actually have to do any of the heavy lifting. Jesus says to take up our cross and follow him. Did you guys know that the cross has already been lifted? Jesus himself carried it. As we've been reading our Bible, reading our way through the Bible this year, Pastor Carlene has introduced a prayer to us. God, I want all that you have for me, and I believe it will be revealed through your word. Illuminate your word in my life this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you guys to continue praying that prayer every time you open your Bible to read this year. Ask for God's guidance and to help you as you walk out your faith. Ask for his help to not only illuminate his word for you, but to help you illuminate Christ's love for the world. Near the end of Mark 10, James and John go to Jesus with what I consider is the audacity to ask him to seat them beside his throne in heaven. I feel like this was pretty bold. I cannot imagine going to Jesus and saying, hey, look, I know there's 12 of us, but you should pick the two of us over everybody else to be your favorite. The thought of that like dries my throat up. I have no words. It wouldn't happen. I'd like to think it wouldn't happen. Who knows? But it does make you wonder kind of what they were thinking after having walked with him and learned from him. Why would they assume that they were better? Anyways, this is what follows. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. I feel like I would have been too. I would have been a bit upset. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Part of our jobs as Christians is to show Christ's love to others. To allow his light to shine through our hearts, to become light-hearted. It can be really difficult to feel like you have Christ's love continuously shining through your heart. We have bad days. We are human. But that doesn't mean we should stop trying. That doesn't mean that on the days when we fail at showing Christ's love before 9 a.m., we should just go, done for the day. It's obviously not going to happen for me. Because even when he stumbled while carrying his cross, Jesus got back up. He knew what he had to do. He knew, and so do we. We, every day, should be walking out that same path to Calvary. We might not be dying in the flesh or in the body, but we should be dying to ourselves every single day. Bringing Christ into our hearts every single morning and saying, God, Lord Jesus, I am living for you today. I am not living for me. Your will be done, not mine. And that's hard to do. I mean, you start out with the good intentions in the morning. I sometimes have to stop and remind myself over and over throughout the day, no, 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 this day is not about you. this day is not about you. As we continue to read through our Bible, I want you guys to remember to apply what you're learning to your life. No, I'm not talking about Abraham offering up Isaac as a sacrifice. Please don't kill your children. That's not what I'm saying. You don't necessarily have to go out back and burn a goat. Don't do that either. It probably doesn't smell very good. But offer up yourself as that sacrifice. Bring yourself before God and say, here I am. Mold me. Shape me to do what it is you need me to do today. It's going to be hard. I'm not going to lie. It's going to take you outside of the comfortable box where we like to live, the nice with the good sturdy walls, and it's going to take us outside of that. But it's also going to be worth it. Displaying a heart like Christ and shining the love of Christ into the world is such an important part of our work as Christians. It's one of the ways that we serve the world. I want you guys quick to turn around and take a look at the picture on the tiny screen, since we don't have the projector today. It's the heart of Christ, shining with light. What's funny to me is a lot of pictures that I see where Jesus is being depicted, especially a lot of the older ones, they have so much light. And they're all coming out of this man. This one man who died for all of us. Our Savior said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Can we really be expected to do less than to serve, to give, to love? Jesus' entire ministry was based out of love. Love for people that he, as a man, hadn't met. Love for his father. Love of his father for us. Even when he was tipping tables in the temple, it was still out of love. It was the love for God. People had defiled the temple. They were using it for things it shouldn't have been used for. He has so much love for his father, he can't stand that. All of that love, this all-encompassing love, we can feel. I feel it when I pray. I see it in the words of my Bible. I feel it when I worship, no matter where I worship, really, whether it's here, in the car, in my living room, in my kitchen, it doesn't matter. I feel it when I've had a rough week and I come in and Greta gives me a hug before service and tells me I got this. Even as I'm having an identity crisis and answering to names that are not mine. I feel that love. The love that God has for us. The love that Christ, overflowing love that Christ showed for us by dying in our place. So that we could go and spend eternity in heaven, in paradise, with God. All he asks us to do, really, is to love others, to bring them home. What I'm going to have you guys do now, I'm going to open it up for two testimonies. We're going to limit it to two. I know that that can be hard. But here's the thing. There are parameters for this. And then I'll finish my sermon. I would like to know what has happened so far in 2020 where you have seen God's love. Where you have seen the love of our Savior. Do I have any takers? Anybody?
If no one else has anything.
Oh, good.
I guess for me, the ways that I see God are in the things that he does for me. And I do, obviously, I can see it when he does good things for other people too, but I'm busy, so, you know, I don't see a lot of people.
I encourage you, while you're reading your Bible, while you're getting deeper into Scripture, while you're soaking up his word, I want you to think about that love. There's love in every word in that book. Every single word is filled with God's love for us. I want you to think about that love radiating out of you. God's love, Christ's love, just like someone set off a firework in front of your chest. And I want you to share it. I mean, love is one of those things that you can share with as many people as possible and never have any less. You know, it's not like money. You know, if you have $2 and you hand somebody one, well, you only have $1 now. It isn't like that. This love, especially this selfless God love, multiplies upon itself. Continually. I want to see you being lighthearted with each other, having that love of Christ shining through your light, through your heart, good grief, as well. Shortly, we are going to be entering into a time of worship through response. I'm going to pray. There's going to be a few moments of reflection while some music is playing. I want you to really spend that time reaching out to God and thinking of how you can truly be lighthearted in the world. Maybe you have a neighbor who is a grouch. And you know that that neighbor lost someone and that that's part of the reason that they're angry at the world is because of that. It takes 5 minutes to show that person love. It takes 5 minutes to show that person God's love. The smallest thing that you do for someone else out of love can make the biggest difference. Even if it's just sending someone a quick text to say, hey, I just want you to know you're amazing, God loves you, and so do I. It can turn someone's day around. So spend a few minutes thinking of how you can be truly lighthearted in the world. Your next steps for this week: be lighthearted, and please continue reading your Bible as we do so as a church. I think that this year is going to be a pretty special one.